Chapter 62. I don't think I can stand up, Carrie said. I'm tied to some kind of weight. Dempsey huffed his impatience, snatched at the gold chenille throw that covered her feet and tossed the end farther up her legs. He kept the gun in his right hand, and with his left, he pulled a hunting knife with a wide, vicious-looking serrated blade from a leather sleeve on his belt. With two flicks of his wrist, the cable ties were history. He holstered the knife. Now get up. The throw crumpled around Carrie as she sat up, but with the fingers of her right hand, she managed to hold on to a piece of it to cover the knife. What are you going to do to me? She asked as she pushed herself up to her knees.
You'll have a trial. I'll pronounce sentence and determine your punishment, same as I did with that lawyer.
He sounded perfectly sane as he said it. He had decided that this was his job, and he was going to do it, and that was that. Kenny Scott?
Yeah, him. He got exactly what he deserved. So will you.
Carrie had no idea what he might have done to Carl Dahl's attorney, but she didn't ask. She would find out soon enough if Stan Dempsey had his way. You're a cop, she said. You're a good cop. You've worked your whole life to protect and serve. How can you do this?
He looked at her as if he couldn't believe she didn't know. Because somebody has to.
Come on, Sam. But you're breaking the law, Carrie said. How can you do that and talk about justice?
I don't see it that way, Dempsey said, the gun still trained on her in an almost casual way.
You'll go to prison, detective, she said, hoping in vain that using his rank might jar something in his conscience.
No, I won't.
Carrie weighed the idea of telling him Kovac was on his way, but she didn't think the information would change his course of action, except that he might feel compelled to kill her sooner rather than later. How long have you been a cop? She asked. 20 years? More? None of it will mean anything if you do this. This is how you'll be remembered. How you'll be judged.
His wide mouth curled in a sneer. You don't know anything. You sit up on the bench in your robes, he said with disdain. It's just a big game with the lawyers, and you're a referee. The victims don't mean anything to you people.
That's not true. Look how you treated Marlene Haas. She was a decent woman, just trying to raise a family. Do you want to know the kind of hell Carl Dahl put her through? I know what he did.
Yet you give that son of a bitch every break you can. Maybe you can't know what it is to be a victim until you are one. Get up.
Carrie couldn't wait for rescue any longer. When she rose to her feet, Dempsey would make her drop the throw. Either she would have to drop the knife with it, or he would take it away from her.
Get up, he said again, angrier.
A rumbling sound rolled over the building. Dempsey turned his head and looked up. Quickly, Carrie worked her fingertips down the handle of the knife to the blade, drawing it up under the too long sleeve of her black shirt, inch by inch. She rose as Dempsey turned back to her.
Storm coming in, he said,
as if she would care.
He motioned her out of the room with the barrel of the gun.
Debris bit into the soles of her bare feet. Carrie tried not to make a sound. It would probably make him angrier that she could complain about stepping on rocks and broken glass when Marlene Haas had been forced to endure unimaginable torture. Stan Dempsey would have no sympathy for her. Justice, sure and swift, was what he had in mind. And Carrie feared it would be a terrible brand of justice. She would have to act soon, if she could do it as they came out of the building. To even have a thought in her head of pushing a knife into another human being was appalling to her. She'd spent her career fighting against violence. In her entire life, she had never committed a violent act against another human being, or any other form of life for that matter. She didn't know if she could do it.